This is Spins Fully Charged Recharged.
Welcome to Spins Fully Charged
Recharged
with Emma, Damon, Ashley.
Let's go.
Hi, podcast. How are we all?
The way you said that, it's like you were waiting for it to answer.
Hi, podcast.
What do you think a podcast sounds like?
Hello. Hiya.
These are really terrible jokes, guys. Really, really bad joke.
I'm not making a joke.
What would a podcast sound like? Hello.
I'm asking a philosophical question.
Shite joke. I turn off.
Fuck off. If I was listening to this podcast, you give a good joke. I'm going on my holidays.
I have a good joke for you. I think this is really, really funny. You will not like it at all.
Right.
I'm just...
Is it bold?
No, it's not bold. You just will not enjoy it. I just think it's funny. And it's about Paddy. It's a Paddy Englishman, Paddy Scottishman, Paddy Irishman.
Oh, well.
Joke, kind of joke.
Throwback.
Yeah, exactly. So, Paddy Englishman, Paddy Irishman, Paddy Scottishman, they're all chilling out. And Paddy Englishman says, do you know what I did the other day? I went and I got a hive and bees. Mm. And I have 400 bees in a big hive. And they gave me a jar of honey a week.
Love
Paddy Scottishman says, oh, I did the exact same thing. I have 800 bees in a big hive and I get 2 jars of honey a week. And then Paddy Irishman says, oh, I have 900,000 bees in a really small hive and I get 7 jars of honey an hour. And they were like, is that not really bad for the bees? And Paddy Irishman just goes, fuck them.
I don't know if I get it.
It's not it. It's just that.
Fuck
just fuck them. They're bees, like, fuck them.
Irish people come across so badly on those things.
That is funny, actually.
That's good.
I was waiting for like something to land, and then I was like, oh no.
No, no.
There's nothing.
Just, fuck them.
That is good.
That's the reaction I wanted, but it did not land at all the first time, but it took you a while. Got it.
That's good. Wake up, you baby.
This is Spins Fully Charged with Emma, Dave, and Ashling in the morning.
Hello, good morning. Wednesday, the 27th of March today. You're with Emma, Dave, and Ashling here on Spin 103.8.
Good morning.
Morning.
Are we all feeling well?
Oh,
I'm feeling well. Do you know why I'm feeling well? Because we're off Friday.
Mm-hmm. So
this is basically like our Thursday.
It's Thursday, yeah.
Dave, stop coming on every morning pretending like you don't love it here.
Oh, I absolutely love my life.
Are you not so sad that you're not here on Friday? That's terrible.
I am sad, but it means I don't have to get up at 5:30. And
this
that's going to be a little bit nicer.
This is true.
A little bit nicer.
I'm having a little bit of stress this week with dinners. So I'm going on holidays tomorrow and it's always kind of a thing. Do you know when you go on holidays? And my boyfriend Alex is going on a separate trip. We're both leaving for like a week and a bit. And we're like, we need to eat everything in the fridge.
Oh, you're one of those.
You know that kind
of
thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't like throwing away a load of stuff.
Of course,
so
yeah.
It's like we have no fun snacks at all and we're just like eating like morsels of cheese as like a treat. But I was like, I'll make a curry and I know this curry will do 3 days, all right? So there's a curry that I make and it serves 3, okay? So I said, I'll double that curry. It'll serve 6. Alex leaves today, so he's technically only getting 2 portions and I was going to get 3. So I was like, I'll split it between 5, right? So we'll have jumbo curries.
Yes.
So it's a 6-person curry split between 5 essentially what we were going to have. I was like, that's grand. That's only a slight fraction more than what we would be supposed to be having.
Oh, I need a diagram.
Until I spooned out the curry on Monday and I was like, jeez, that's a huge bowl of curry.
Right.
I had it split between 5. I was like, that's massive. And Alex goes, you know that curry is normally a 4-person curry. I was like, no, it's a 3. He was like, no, it's a 4, Ashling. So now I've actually made an 8-person curry split between 5 and I'm curried out of it.
I'd say you are.
The belly is not good.
I say you're putting everything in there, are you? Every little bits of things, you can find a bit of yogurt in there.
Oh, Christ, the bowl is so big at night. I'm literally like, oh, it takes me like 45 minutes to eat it.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Why don't you walk down the road and get a McDonald's or something?
I have to eat everything in the fridge. Yeah. Don't you understand?
You are a glutton for punishment. You're your own worst enemy.
Yeah, Alex and I went to a gig last night and he hadn't eaten his curry in the day because he had a big lunch. And I was like,
come on, we have to have the curry. 11:30
at night sitting on the couch eating the curry.
I'd be gone to town. I'd be selling that curry.
Oh, lads, I don't know.
I'm like a curry pusher.
I don't know why you put yourself through so
honestly
much of this stuff.
It's big curry week.
It's 7:05. Emma, Dave and Ashling. Shall we just get on with this for Wednesday then, guys?
Let's do it.
Can we just do it?
Spins Fully Fully Charged with now.
Tate McRae, that's X's here on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Good morning. I came across an article that was right up my street. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was nowhere near my street because the article was titled The 10 Most Boring Cities in the World.
Oh!
But when I saw that, I was like, yeah, that's a bit of me. Tell me where's crap and why I shouldn't go there. As long as Drogheda isn't on that list, I'm happy out. The article also said that these places are perfect for boring people. So if you're a boring person, listen up.
Oh, I'm listening.
In a world with vibrant cultures and exciting destinations, join me as we embark on a journey through terrible places. Ottawa, Canada. We've all heard of Ottawa,
yeah,
Canada.
Yeah, I have heard of
Ottawa. Number 10 on the list, right? The best thing about this article, there's little notes about, you know, the place. So Ottawa, Canada, the capital of calmness. And it says the plethora of government buildings and the lack of lively attractions contribute to its ranking. I've never heard of that being in Ottawa, like a government buildings type vibe.
I feel it like anywhere like the government are.
I thought it'd be good crack. I thought it was a massive city.
Yeah, and I feel like Ottawa comes up quite a bit in novels. Reading a random novel, like Easy Peasy, it's like, this was all based in Ottawa for some reason.
Yeah. Now, you see, this list is weird. Like, some of the actual ones on this are going to confuse you. You're going to be like, really? Like,
I think Ottawa is the capital of Canada.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm like, the capital of Canada. But also, like, is that like Canberra?
Yeah, it's just for government and stuff, obviously.
Maybe,
boring.
That's what it's for, yeah. Number 8 on the list is Santiago, Chile.
Oh.
And you're thinking, that sounds like amazing.
Yeah,
like,
it really
the food
does.
Is good, the culture is amazing.
I'd love to go to Chile.
Apparently one of the most boring cities in the world.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, just not much going on. Speaking of not much going on, Birmingham in England, the industrial legacy without lustre, apparently.
Ah, dear.
Did I ever tell you about the time that my brother booked tickets for my dad to go to a match with him for Christmas or something?
All right.
And Barry, my brother, had the tickets bought and the accommodation and the flights and everything organised for my dad, and then realised the match was on the different weekend.
No.
And it was on in Birmingham. And my dad was like, Barry, I'm not going to Birmingham with you for 24 hours for no reason. But Barry would be a bit like you, Aisling. He's like, we have our flights.
We're
going to Birmingham. And they literally, it was the funniest updates all day. What are you doing in Birmingham now? And my dad was like, that's a nice wall, isn't it?
Yeah. We're in a shopping centre.
Yeah, they did.
They do have an unreal shopping centre. So, yeah, industrial legacy without luster. Number 6 on the list is somewhere my dad has been a couple of times, and he always talked greatly about it. Helsinki in Finland.
Oh, cool.
Tranquility overshadows excitement, apparently, is what this article said.
It kind of sounds like this person who wrote this article is bitter about, like, yoga.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this person like a raver.
Yeah.
Callum, where is Hatfield?
It sounds English.
It
sounds kind of southern England, maybe like Kent way.
I thought just an English person would have to know English place by law. Well, Hatfield is number 5. Overlooked and underwhelming, apparently. Wait till you hear number 4 on the list.
Is it in Ireland?
No, it is not. Thankfully, we did not. I don't think you could put an Irish town.
As boring. No, I don't think you could.
There's always something going on.
Like, yeah.
Number 4 on the list of the most boring places in the world is Pisa, Italy.
What? Oh. After you do the whole thing with the lean and yeah. picture and all, is there anything to do? I've never been there. But.
So me and my girlfriend just did a 2-week kind of road trip around Italy last summer.
Yeah.
And one of the places that we didn't go to was Pisa because Jess went before. And she said, literally, apart from the tower, there is nothing to do.
Wow. Really? These are things you wouldn't think of.
Even the tower's so bored it's fallen over.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. Beyond the Leaning Tower, Pisa's reliance on a single iconic landmark leaves the city lacking in the variety needed. Apparently, there's nothing else going on.
I'd happily just sit there and eat pasta, though.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Looking at the Leaning Tower, yeah.
Yeah.
Number 3, Bratislava in Slovakia. Small town feel in a capital city, which is unfortunate for them. St. Petersburg in Florida hits the number 2. Sunshine state of boredom is what this article says.
Anything Florida. I would never consider boring.
Feel like that's a lie.
And then this place is called Lubbock. It's the plains of predictability, the essence of the Lone Star State, but misses the typical Texan flair. It's in Texas, by the way. And it's, the plains of predictability.
Wow.
Is the place that it's called.
Actually a beautiful piece of prose.
And I was thinking while I was going through these top 10 lists of the most boring places, I know Aisling Bonner wants to go to all of these places to find that she can have a bit of crack.
Yeah, yeah, to prove the list.
Is that not the most Aisling thing in the world?
I kind of see it as a personal challenge.
You'd be like, I want to hold a party in Lubbock, Texas.
Get it off the list for next year.
Exactly.
Welcome, guys.
Where would you think the most boring place in Ireland is?
Oh.
I don't know, probably somewhere down the country in the Midlands.
Cavan.
Poor Cavan.
Ongar.
Ongar.
Who knows where it is?
That's not it. Doesn't exist.
Spins Bully Charge.
Recharged.
Taylor Swift's Karma on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling. If you don't have plans for the bank holiday weekend and you don't have tickets for the Eras tour in Dublin, you can watch it now online. It's on Disney.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to be like, we have tickets.
Don't tease people like that. It's not fair.
Good one.
It's on Disney Plus if you fancy a go over the weekend.
I had a bit of a late night last night. I wasn't in bed till midnight.
Oh my God, Aisling Bonner.
I know, you'd never know. I'm very fresh looking at it. The reason being, I was at a gig at Vicar Street. I went to this gig with my boyfriend Alex, meaning there were a lot of men with mustaches in the crowd. He keeps taking me to mustachio majority gigs.
That is your type.
So a couple of weeks ago we went to see this guy called Donny Benet. I was telling you about it on the show. He's like this Australian artist that Alex introduced me to, and I really like him as well. It was on the Academy. All the men had mullets and mustaches. It was so funny. I was telling you that there was a really quirky support act for the gig, and he was singing songs about like Jamie Oliver recipes being taken too long to make. Like, something like I Want to Poo was one of their songs as well. Well, last night we went to see a guy called Thundercat. Have you ever heard of him?
Why have I heard of Thundercat?
Always on festival lineups, right?
Yeah. I think he played
Thundercat.
Yeah, I think he played Beyond the Pale last year.
Right,
Definitely has done All Together Now at some point.
Yeah, he's totally that vibe.
Wasn't it a cartoon years ago, Thundercat? I have a feeling it was.
Thunderbirds,
I think. There was Top Cat, Thunderbirds, but there actually apparently was a Thundercat, because I think that's where he got his name from. I was just looking that up. He's won a couple of Grammys. He's collabed with Kendrick
Lamar.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, on like Smith. One of his albums. He's like an unbelievable bass player.
Cool.
As Alex said, he shreds that bass.
Right, okay.
That doesn't sound good coming from me, but sounds cool when you say it with an American accent. He's absolutely shredding right now. And he was shredding. He shredded a lot during the gig. He had a great song that I enjoyed, and it was about being a cat. And it went, everybody wants to be a cat, it's good to be a cat. And then there was a bit in it where it was like, meow, 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 meow. And everybody had to meow back.
Wow.
And I liked that bit.
I'd say you did.
Everybody Wants to Be a Cat reminds me of that song from the Aristocats.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so it was a quirky gig, and it got ever quirkier when Thundercat spent about 10 minutes talking about the Japanese anime show Dragon Ball Z. I don't know if you guys know Dragon Ball Z. Okay, but my brother was obsessed with Dragon Ball Z. I remember he had Dragon Ball Z DVDs. It used to be on him. Toonami. Do you remember Toonami?
I thought it was Cartoon Network.
I think they had like a branch of Network that was like anime and stuff. I just didn't like the look of them. I actually hated Dragon Ball Z. Whenever I'd walk in, my brother was watching Dragon Ball Z, I was like, I hate their little pointy chins. I didn't like the anime drawings. And actually now when you look back, it's actually really quirky and cool looking.
Yeah, but it's the same as like Pokemon. It's the same as like, it's that anime
Pokemon style.
Like,
oh, I didn't like Dragon Ball Z. It made my skin crawl. So then last night when he started talking about Dragon Ball Z, I was like, and he honestly talked about Dragon Ball Z for like 10 minutes. And I saw a new side to my boyfriend, Alex. I was shook. Your man was like, you guys, when Goku became Super Saiyan, I cried. And Alex, yeah!
Oh, so God. What an ick.
What am I doing here? But then he played like a really cool song about Dragon Ball Z, and then he shred the bass to the Dragon Ball Z song, and I found myself wanting to watch Dragon Ball Z for the first time in my life. And I also found myself being like, Alex, would you ever consider a moustache? I need to stop going to gigs with this man. It's changing me. I need a musical to cleanse my soul.
Yeah.
You should have gone to Griff with me last night in the Olympian.
Oh, yeah, it was that.
Yeah. So what would you do if he did come back from his holidays with a moustache?
I don't know. As long as he's not sitting there watching Dragon Ball Z, I'll take that.
Is Dragon Ball Z the one with the... Like, remember you ever had them people in your school, the weird kids who'd run with their arms behind their back?
I don't know if I think they might have run like that.
And they, what is it? Hadouken or something like that.
Yeah,
is that
you just
another
go,
thing?
Dragon Ball Z.
That sounds like you've just made up a make-believe theme
sure
tune to it.
The theme tune.
Dragon Ball Z.
Calvin Harris, Rag and Bone Man, this is Lovers in a Past Life now on Spin.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Calvin Harris, Rag and Bone Man, that's Lovers in a Past Life on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling. You were just talking about a show you hated growing up, Ash.
Dragon Ball Z.
Well, just to give you more of an ick this morning. Dragon Ball Z. 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 Dragon This is awful. It does sound really intense.
That is just terrible.
Not sure if that's my childhood. My brother playing that every day after school, and I was like, please, can we watch Reset?
Fully charged.
Noah Kahan and Stick Season on Spin with Emma, Dave and Ashley.
Good morning. If you missed yesterday's show, then whoo, you missed a good one. We were chatting about what you did for money as a kid. I was saying this because it nearly happened to me the other day, and it was something I used to do as a kid, where I went to go and pay for parking and I had coins, put in the coins, and I was supposed to get change and no change came out. And I was like, oh, maybe it's one of those things that, you know, no change comes out. And I was like, no, hang on for a second. I know, I used to do this as a kid. And I put my hand in the little flap where the change is usually there, and I put it up and I can feel a little bit of tissue, and I pull the tissue out and the coins drop in. Right, I used to do this as a kid in order to get money at a car parking thing, put tissue up there so the coins would fall into the tissue, and then you'd pull the tissue out when someone had walked away, and
I can't believe people are still doing that now.
And you'd get their change. Obviously, I was in my head as a kid, I thought, I've made up this.
Someone must have told you. I've already heard this
from someone else. This must have been going on for years. But we were asking you, what did you do for money as a kid?
Lots of people getting in on this, and we got so many messages that we had to come back to it this morning because people's stories are just so funny. Little hustlers, like at 5 years of age, etc. This is Aisling.
When I was a kid, my friends and myself and my little sister used to go to the swimming pool, and when we finished in the swimming pool, we'd walk around all the lockers and see if anyone left our 1 euro in it. Go up the shop then and use whatever we found on sweets.
Oh, for goodness sake.
When I was a kid.
It's so annoying, isn't it? Because I've had a job for, I've been working for nearly 10 years or whatever. And I'm like, I'd still do that.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? I've been getting paid a wage for 10 years and I would still do
if
that.
If I found a euro in a locker, God, I'd
be buzzing. What a great day. What a great day that would be.
Jennifer was also in touch.
My dad is a taxi man and he used to have a coin machine, but it wouldn't fit any of 10s or 20 cents.
He
always says, I hate 10s and 20s, I hate them. So he used to just throw them on the floor outside our garden when he used to leave for work. And I would go out after him and get them all and get the euro out of it.
Sorry, he used to throw them on the ground.
Oh my God, he must have been making a mint.
That's amazing.
In that taxi.
Throwing them on the ground. Oh my God. Actually, I saw a video the other day. You know those wishing wells?
Yes.
I saw the video.
Oh, I did that too.
And I saw where they clear out the well. What's the one in Rome?
Oh, the Trevi Fountain.
They literally go in with shovels and empty it out. They make millions from people's wishing well money.
I think they give
money.
It away to charity though, or
I'd
the
like
church
to think
or
so.
Something
yeah,
like
hopefully.
That.
Yeah.
Eve was also on.
So when me and my friend were younger, there used to be a garden in the flats that had all the flowers and stuff in it, and we used to pick all the flowers, the roses and the daffodils and all those things, and we used to stand outside the flats, and anyone passing down home from work used to give us 20 cents and stuff for one flower, but we used to make loads of money and we used to split it down at the end of the day.
I love that.
Brilliant.
That's so funny.
Oh, the poor people plant the flowers.
Yeah. It reminds me as a kid when I used to go Christmas caroling, and we'd Christmas carol around people's doors and just hold our hands out and be like, give something. Gives a euro there. We Christmas carol in October.
Jonathan.
So what I used to do years and years ago when I was a kid to get money was, there was this neighbour that lived in the block of flats that I lived in, and I always knew that she always wanted people to go to the shops for her because she's kind of old, and she always hated people playing football outside her door. So what I used to do to get her attention is I'd get a football, play football outside her door when she'd come out and say, you just get away from that door. And then I'd say, do you want to go to the shop for you? And then when she went to go to the shop, then you get 20p off her. So that's how I made a few quid off her.
Do you want me to go to the shop for you is my favourite thing in the world.
Oh, genius.
Playing the football just to get her attention.
That's brilliant. Go on.
There are more, and if you do have any more, get in touch. 087 711 1038. The ways you made money as a child, get in touch if you wish. 087 711 1038. Sarah Larson now with Spin.
Fully charged.
Yesterday we were asking you, what did you do for money as a kid? And there were so many funny messages that we decided to bring it back today because I am loving this.
There's so many coming in even again now. Amanda was just on to us.
My uncle used to work for Leaf. I don't know if you guys remember it. It then changed to Zed Candy, but you know all the Cool Pops.
Okay.
He used to come home every summer and give us all hundreds of Cool Pops, and I used to go around in my go-kart around my house in the States selling the Cool Pops off to all the kids. Made a bomb. That's great.
The cool pop ladies outside.
Drive by cool pop.
On her go kart.
In comes the ice cream machine singing along, but the go kart's ahead. Yeah. I love it.
You can either have money for the go kart woman or you can have the ice cream man. What do you want?
Yeah. Eugene.
When we were younger, myself and my brother, I believe I was only about 11 or 12. We used to get raffle tickets. We used to buy a book of raffle tickets. And back then, I think it was a pound wall or something like that.
Oh, no.
But we used to go around to all the houses in different estates, pretending there was a big raffle. And, you know, I think we were charging like £2 or something like that for a ticket, like, you know what I mean? And we would always say to the people, and if you win, we'll ring you back. But nobody would ever win. Like, I mean, we used to cash in some amount of money. Like, my brother was the eldest, so he used to say, like, right, it's 60-40, you know what I mean? Like, I get more money out of this. But sure, back then, sure, I didn't really care, like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, we were entrepreneurs back then, you know? That's how we started life.
We were scammers.
But there was many other things we used to do. We used to sell orange juices on the building sites and all. Ah, it was mad, it was, but come here, you gotta do it though, don't you? It's easy money, I think.
Yeah. Simpler times.
Eugene, I would like to know what you do for work now. Because I feel like you could make us all rich, and I think you should be a financial advisor or something.
I do remember like seeing raffle tickets in like a stationery shop and being like,
you could just buy
them. You need like a permit to buy them. Like, yeah. It is mad.
So fair. Dennis was on as well.
My youngest daughter 2 years ago wanted to buy a swimming pool for the front garden for her and her friends. €285 or something like that. And I told her, I wouldn't be arsed by that for you. Your friends will have a wreck by one day. You just burst and it's gone. So she bought a load of water bottles out for €10 allowance, out of Aldi's, and got the ice bucket, went over to the local GAA pitch, and she sold ice water for €1.50 a bottle. That day there was loads of GAA matches going on. She sold 20 bottles within an hour, and then all I kept doing was going to Aldi's in Newbridge and buying slabs of water. Slabs and slabs of water. She made £300 in one day.
Oh my God! Supply and demand.
Yes!
I love
that's
it.
Unreal.
That's a hustler.
Cool, what a cool kid. This person would like to remain anonymous, which makes me nervous considering what we've already heard.
So my friend and I used to serve mass. So
oh, no.
That meant that we had all access to different parts of the abbey. So
no.
You could go back into where the priest quarters is and, you know, you could use the phone. Yeah, and you generally could go around the place unnoticed and you didn't really look suspicious. So we sort of took advantage of that.
No.
We used to go up to the well, the wishing well, where the tourists would come, mostly Americans, make their wishes for the future. And when they'd leave, we'd take the money that they threw into the wishing well and go across the pub and play pool with it.
Okay, thank God. That did not turn out what I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was going to be the collection again or something.
What church has a wishing well in it?
I know. If there's American tourists.
Is that what Catholicism is built on?
wishing wells. Yeah, give us your hopes and dreams. Yeah. I'd say my granny's listening right now going, oh my. She's already blessing herself now, anonymous person, saying a Hail Mary for
you. I love that.
That was fantastic. Well done, all.
Let's go!
How are you? Emma, Dave and Ashling with you here on Spin. It is coming up on 3 minutes after seven on a Wednesday morning. Hope all is good in your world.
Good morning. How are we all?
Guys, it only took nearly 6 years living in Dublin to finally feel like I have a local pub where people know me.
Oh wow.
It's so exciting to finally
get
to that stage. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and they also know, I'll tell you, right? So I, as I've told you several times in the show, was born in Dublin, here in Dublin, the whole family moved to Waterford, and I moved to a really rural part. So like the local pub was the local pub, and like everyone, it was almost annoying, I think, for locals there, because there's no like anonymity. Everyone knows everyone's business. Mm. Everyone knows your mother, your father, your cousin, all that kind of crack in rural Ireland. The stereotypical local pub was the stereotypical local pub. And like, as much as moving to Dublin sometimes you would kind of miss that.
Just a little bit.
Just to be like, oh, you're in a bit. How are you? How's life going? You know, it is kind of a nice culture we have as well, with that in mind. And the only place it's ever really happened to me that where they kind of remember you is Kyo's. Aren't Kyo's brilliant for remembering you?
No. They have a thousand.
See so many people.
Thousand people every 10 minutes.
Kyo's would remember me, yeah.
Oh my God. You must have made a very big impression in there, because I've been given out to a lot in Kyo's and these still don't remember me.
Really? But last night, the Bottle Tower, which is kind of like the local, it's within walking distance for me and my housemate if we want to go for a little walk and have a drink. And we did last night, and when we walked in, not only did they know our order, they said, I'm delighted to tell you, your usual spot is free for you, ladies.
Oh, wow.
I was like, woo!
Oh, that is savage.
We are so in. And then it got to the point where we got so relaxed that we kind of, instead of just sitting up properly, we were like, this is our local now. We were kind of slouching. Then they walked over and said, same again. And we didn't even like sit up and be like, we were like, ah, yeah.
This was in the Bottle Tower.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. I was thinking it was Kyo's. And I was like, this is insane. I can't get over this.
No, this was, it was class. It was such a lovely feeling just to be like, oh, we are like in our spot that they now know is in our spot. To the point where the barman came over and said, so what do you do for work anyway, girls?
Oh, they're starting to get to know you a bit now.
Starting to get to know us a little bit.
I think if I had I remember I went into a Chinese restaurant and your one went, the usual, and I went, I'm never coming here again. I'm never
doing
that.
It's like Miranda in Sex and the City where she rings the Chinese and they're like, they know her order and she's like, I'm never calling you again.
Never.
Don't ever say that. Anyway, it's a good vibe. It's a good vibe.
Welcome to Dublin, Emma.
Thank you very much.
You've arrived.
6 years in. You are with Emma, David, Ashling. Let's play the golden ticket for a Wednesday and try and give away this holiday to Corfu next.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Emma, David Ashling's golden ticket.
Here we go.
I think it's fair to say the gameplay on this has improved significantly recently.
Yes.
There's something in the water. It's a good vibe. We have a holiday to give away, all with thanks to Sunway, Ireland's hassle-free holiday company. That is to Corfu. Patricia's on to take a crack at it this morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Just getting ready for work.
You've been an avid golden ticket listener and you're ready for your time to shine, I believe.
Yes, I am. I was just telling my friend yesterday, like, how come I never get a call? Like, I really want to get on it. So I think I just had to say it out loud to someone.
Good, there you go. Yeah, you gotta speak it
into the universe. So what are you doing for work, Patricia, at the moment?
Oh, that's like super, super difficult to explain. I'm doing a regional support.
Regional support?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
For what region?
It's for Ireland and Ireland.
Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Oh, very nice.
That's quite a big region, I would say.
I would say it's more of an island as opposed to a region.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say like
nation.
Dublin Southwest or something.
And what is the support on? What are you giving support for?
Electrical wholesaler.
Oh, cool.
Okay,
oh,
interesting. Hey, very nice.
Educated people, Patricia. We understand electrical wholesalers very well on this show.
Yeah, big fan of electrical wholesalers.
Good for you.
Are you working from home, Patricia, or do you have to go to the office for that?
No, we actually have a meeting today, so I'm just getting ready in a hotel to go downstairs.
Very nice. It sounds like a tough job. It sounds like you're in need of a holiday, and it sounds like we should send you to Corfu. Does that sound like a good deal?
Oh yeah, 100%. I would love to. I'm, this super stressed person.
Oh,
fair enough.
Okay.
Let's see if we can get you. Let's see if we can get you relaxing. Before we get you relaxing, we have to get you a little bit nervous because this is Emma, David, Ashling's golden ticket. You've heard this game before. 5 songs and artists within 25 seconds. You guess them all, you win the ultimate break in Corfu. If it's a song with a few people on it, you only need to tell us one artist. There's no skipping or passing. We can't move on until you get the song and artist correct. However, if you really don't know the tune, you can swap it for a different song. You can only do that once and you can't do it on the final one. So if you want to swap the song, shout the word swap. And when you get it correct, we'll pause the clock just so you can gather yourself and get ready for the next one. Are you, does that all make sense, Patricia?
Yes, 100%.
Happy
I know
days.
It by heart by now.
Where are you from, Patricia?
I live in Sandyford.
Lovely. Right. Patricia from Sandyford.
Let's
25
do it.
Seconds on the clock. And song one, playing in 3, 2, 1, start the clock.
Jack Harlow, Loving On Me.
Stop the clock.
Nicely done. Jack Harlow, Loving On Me. We got that in 4 seconds. We have 21 seconds left, 4 songs to go.
I think song 2 is very easy, Patricia.
I do too.
And I think you could get this. Let's go for it. It plays in 3, 2, 1. Start the clock.
This is a shout out to my ex.
Little Mix.
Yeah.
They just said it.
ex? My ex? Yeah, shout out to my ex?
Yes, yeah. There we go.
Ooh, God. It's getting stressful. Shout out to my ex, Little Mix. All right, we're down to 12 seconds now, so we need to be a bit quicker. You do have your swap still. I think you're going to get song three, to be honest, as well. And we have three songs to go.
Let's go for it, Patricia. It plays in 3, 2, 1. Start the clock. As you promised me
that I was more. Oh my God. No, I can't. Stick Season.
Stop the clock. Brilliant. Woo! Well
okay.
done.
Oh my God is right. Stick Season, no, I can. All right, we're on to song four yet again. 2 days in a row. We have 8 seconds left. Two songs to go. And the swap remaining.
And the swap and remaining. Swap. Let's go for song four, Patricia. It plays in 3, 2, 1. Start the clock.
Pink,
Trustfall.
Stop the clock!
Wow, 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 wow. Exciting stuff. Pink and Trustfall. We, for the first time...
I actually said Trustfall there.
Oh, because of our bloody song.
Producer Callum actually didn't stop the clock until you said Trustfall afterwards. Okay, so the music did stop, but we're... Okay, we're at 4 seconds, Patricia. You actually can no longer use the swap because we're at song five. So no swap. 4 seconds to a week in Corfu.
Oh, lads.
I need you to take a deep breath, Patricia.
Please give me something easy and, you know, short.
We have no idea what's about to come. So it could be tough, it could be easy. You just got to say it as quick as you possibly can. Song five on Emma, Dave and Aisling's Golden Ticket plays in 3, 2, 1. Start the clock. You know we rarely get nights like these. And we don't feel
bad because it's any ideas at all, Patricia?
I know the song for sure.
Let's hear a bit more of it.
Probably like Ella Henderson or Becky Hill.
Yep. Yeah, one of them.
Oh, actually, it's neither of them.
Neither of them, no.
But very close. It's Mae Muller.
Katie Baser's there as well.
Teflon Don is on that.
Cigala.
It's a hell of a lot of artists on that.
It's the song that goes like, if it feels this good.
Yeah, the song is feels this good.
The idea of a song five is for it to be a little bit tougher, but I think with that in mind, it wouldn't have been the toughest.
No, not at all.
For a song five. Yeah. I am absolutely
sickened. Like, it takes you all the way.
You did very, very well, Patricia.
Patricia, you played an absolute blinder.
I think you're the first song five we've had of
and
this
no swap.
Round.
No swap needed.
No swap.
You're a trooper. We're so sorry, but we're also so grateful that you gave us such a great game, and we hope you have a great day, okay?
Thanks, guys.
See you, Patricia.
Bye-bye. Will I say great one more time?
Great.
But not great.
Not good enough,
not the best.
That was a good tease, though. That was exciting round.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, because Ash literally was just like, I'd love to go today, because she's off tomorrow and she's off for the next couple of days. I thought, right, Ash really said, Ash really got that going.
See, the sad thing is now it's not allowed to go for a week and a half.
Just because you're away?
Yeah.
Okay, I can tell you listening, that is not true. Don't mind her. Register to play and win it tomorrow, please.
It's her own fault she's gone on holidays.
Golden and WhatsApp 087-711-1038.
Morning.
I was telling you on the show yesterday morning that had an incident at the nail salon the other day where the guy doing my nails was like, I'm feeling great because I never really get to do this colour you've chosen because nobody likes it.
It's rotten.
I was like, oh great. Instant panic set in as one hand was cooking the colour onto my nails for the whole.
Yeah, you'd think he'd say it, oh really? No, when you chose it initially.
Yeah,
when you're halfway through.
It's too late now, mate. It's stuck on me for the month and apparently everyone hates it. Anyway, it got me thinking though, because I had a really nice chat with the nail technician the other day in the salon. Mm. And previously, because I'm new to getting my nails done, it's something I promised myself I'd never buy into. I'm like, I get enough done, enough messing, not spending more money. But I just kind of took it for granted that in the nail salon, because so many people sit there, it might be like socially acceptable to just throw your headphones in and not really chat to them. Maybe they don't fancy chatting to everyone that comes in. And I was wrong and I felt rude. So I took out my headphones and engaged in a lovely conversation with this guy the other day. I was like, oh, people do chat. Grant, okay, I'm learning. I get the vibe. It's cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. Now I'm
I was a noob. Now I'm not.
Exactly. But there are certain places I feel, and I was thinking about this and I actually chatted to my housemate about it last night. I was like, there's got to be certain places though where a chat just isn't the thing. And I had one straight in mind, and I said to her, and I'll tell you now in a sec. And she was like, oh my God, yeah. But then straight away she was like, a massage. Stop asking me what I do from work. I've paid you €150 to massage my back and relax me.
Yes.
Halfway through a massage, when the little background music is playing and it's such a nice vibe, and then they say, so what do you do for work?
No, don't make me think about work.
Mary, I'm half asleep here, pal.
Yeah.
Wake me up when it's over. I don't want to talk.
That's like absolutely fair.
Surely rule number one of being a masseuse.
Yeah.
I've been in...
Shh. Relax.
Yeah. Number two on the list, I find, in a doctor's waiting room.
As in people, other people there.
Other people waiting. Yeah. And I have to say, to be honest with you, you know what I'm like? I chat to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably the first person in the waiting room that makes people uncomfortable, and I have to check myself sometimes.
What are you in for?
Yeah. You all right?
Hey, babe, are you okay? Are you okay? Do you want a hug? You know me, like, I'd be full of chat, and maybe it's just not needed. Another one I actually had experience of before, and I felt so uncomfortable because it was my first time. Please don't talk to me in the therapist waiting room.
In the therapist waiting room?
Like, I'm going in to see a therapist for the first time. I think, like,
I'm not really feeling my best right now.
Again, what are you waiting for?
Terrible anxiety. You?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
about you,
Bob? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember my first ever experience of this was about 6 years ago, and a girl started chatting to me, and obviously I engaged, but I was like, I'm so nervous right now. I just want to get in and get this.
And it's kind of like the elephant in the room is like, we're both here because we don't feel good. Exactly. So why are we pretending we do?
Now, I think this is a big one, and I'm sure the guys can relate when it comes to urinal chat. But God, girls can be such devils for chatting to you while you're having a whiz on the cubicle. Yes.
Now, you see, to be fair, me and Callum, I think, are different beings. Like, do not talk to me and Callum when we're at the urinal. Like, I don't even like, if I go into the bathroom and someone at the urinal, I'm like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Extremely immediately, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially if they start talking to you, but me and Callum wouldn't say a word.
I had a colleague in a place I used to work, and there was like about 8 or 9 cubicles in this place, right? Big, big building. And this colleague, we just happened to come across each other 4 or 5 times in the bathroom at the same time. I get so awkward anyway. I'm like, I don't want anyone to hear me peeing. It's just so weird.
I don't want to talk to you with the soundtrack of pee in the background.
And then she might start a conversation being like, are you sorted for that meeting at 2? And it's just like,
Oh, stop it.
That's a different kind of person to me. Like, that's someone who has confidence.
I think it's different because Aisling and I sometimes after the show would find ourselves in the bathroom together, and that's grand because I'm comfy around Aisling.
Yeah.
But if it's someone Aisling,
this is your moment now to say if you find it uncomfortable.
You're the one who'll be starting the chats in the cubicle.
Well, okay. Sometimes if I'm with somebody I know, it's quite hard to, like, do you just close the door and be like, I'm not answering that question. I'm saying no more. But I feel like that's how it happens. If you have a conversation outside the cubicle, it goes, it makes its way in.
Yeah, yeah. Just stop talking in the bathroom.
And then I always think it's a race. I'm always like, who's going to flush the toilet first?
There should honestly be music blaring in all bathrooms.
I agree. And finally, and this one happened to me recently, I had my smear a couple of weeks ago. It's an awful thing getting your, like, get your smear right, but it's an awkward, even with an STI test, get your STI test and all that. But what they do is, and like, ladies, you know, we always keep our legs crossed and our legs closed, and it's ladylike. And naturally, when you're getting your smear or an STI test, they're like, now, pet, just drop your legs. Pet, just drop your legs now. Come on now, it's all right. You're in a safe place. Just drop your legs.
What an awful thing to say, drop your legs.
It just feels so weird.
Oh, you were so exposed.
Too exposed in that setting. And you're like, oh, Jesus, this is so. Yeah, legs trapped. Oh, jeez, blah, blah. And then they say, and they're inside you, and they say, any plans for the weekend? I'm like, Barbara, just get the job done and get on with
it. Oh, God.
Let me close my legs. Do you know what I mean?
Just got to get through this one first.
I feel like I want to get through this now. Dear God.
Now, I do feel like it normalizes the situation to have a bit of chat, but I was just like, right now, what I'm doing for the weekend is not on my mind.
No.
Spins, fully charged. Recharged.
I don't mean to brag. It's not a brag. But I'm off on my holidays tomorrow.
Back off.
I can't wait. I'm so very excited.
I can't wait.
I don't know what accent this is, but I'm so excited.
Are you going to Scotland?
I think so. No.
Do you know what's mad as well? Whenever Aisling Bonner talks about holidays, you know it's going to be somewhere kind of different. She's not going to go to Marbella. Like, she's going to go to, like, I don't know.
Michigan, Japan, Hawaii.
Yeah. Listen, I have been to Marbella. Great spot. But I am going somewhere a bit weird.
It's too common for you, is it?
No, absolutely not. I'm not above anywhere. But I am very excited because I'm going to Vietnam. So a gang of my friends were booking this trip to Vietnam, and I was like, if I don't go on this trip, however much it's going to cost me, I will have FOMO for the rest of my life. I won't be able to survive.
Yeah.
I love the difference.
I actually thought I would die.
I love the difference in your friends and my friends. If I said to turn around to the lads, I was like, so I'd like to go us all to go to Vietnam. What in God? No. There's no football stadiums there.
Incredible travel destinations ever, but I know what you mean. The FOMO might have actually knocked you dead.
Yes, I think I would have collapsed. No, I actually have always wanted to go to Vietnam for some reason. I'm interested in the history and stuff, so I'm very excited. I've never been on a holiday where I carry a rucksack before.
Oh my god,
that's going to be fun.
How big is yours? Because I learned loads about rucksacks before Thailand, and I have a big one. I know they're measured in litres. Very confusing.
God, I don't know that yet.
I have an 8 litre, I think. If you need to borrow it, I'll bring it in for you later.
Thanks a million, Emma. I think I have a lot to learn. So we're flying to Hanoi. That's our destination. And we have a layover in Paris. Now, tomorrow I'm going. And it's just a short layover tomorrow. So it's about an hour and a half, which I'm a little bit nervous about.
Because, in Paris, is it?
Yeah, if the first flight is delayed and all. Oh, yeah, it's scary. Yeah, I don't want to be doing a home alone on it, running through the airport. But hopefully it'll all go to plan. And we're coming home like 11 days later. So it's not a really long trip. And we're coming home via Paris again. But there are no worries about that layover because it's 9 hours long.
Oh.
So I'm going to have 9 hours in Charles de Gaulle Airport. No thank you.
Isn't that exactly what happened to the terminal?
Is that a film?
Yeah, did you ever see the terminal? Tom Hanks. Oh, it wasn't Charles de Gaulle. It was somewhere in America. But he was just in the terminal for ages.
Oh, and loads of stuff starts to go down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to deal with that, whatever potential stuff could go down at the terminal. Because we arrive at 7 a.m. into Charles de Gaulle and the flight out is 4 p.m.
Oh.
I see an opportunity here to get into Paris for a few hours.
Definitely.
Would you agree that's kind of a...
It's a lovely time as well. You're in, you're just embracing the day, back out to the airport by 2. Lovely.
That's actually the perfect amount of time to be in Paris. There's not much else going on.
Yeah, so it's very, very quiet town.
Yeah, very quiet
sleepy,
city.
Sleepy town.
Yeah.
So I think between like getting to the city and then getting back in time for our flight home, I could have potentially 3 to 4 hours in Paris. And it's kind of like, what do you do with that time? Like, do you pick one like museum to go to? Do you go make your way to the Eiffel Tower and then back in? I don't know. But I think it would be fun if we had a few little side missions, a few little quests to complete in our couple of hours in Paris. So say Vietnam is the mission and then Paris, a few side quests. So that's where I'd like you listening to come in on 087-711-1038. I would love you to suggest some side quests for me and my friends for our 3 to 4 hours in Paris. I will try and complete as many of them as possible.
I'm already thinking of some. I already have that. They're coming to my mind. I remember on your Instagram story the other day you were talking about, I hate the way you can't just walk around town eating a baguette.
Yeah,
you have to wait till you are home. And I was like, you need to walk around Paris eating a baguette?
Eating a baguette straight from the bag.
I was going to say you need to go into like some kind of a cafe and bring home like 40 croissants for us all.
Yeah, look, I can bring home croissants for the show. So yeah, I'm thinking you could be telling me to eat a specific type of pastry you can only get in Paris. Maybe you want me to put a beret on my head at some point. Say bonjour to the French police. Anything you can think of. 087-711-1038. Make them as quirky and challenging as you like.
Are you willing to go as far as the Just Stop Oil ads and mess around with the Mona Lisa at all?
It can be suggested. 087-711-1038. Any side quests for me to complete in Paris, I promise you, I'll try and do as many as I can. You'll get this thing that keeps me coming back.
Emma, Dave and Aisling. Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
I'm off on my holidays tomorrow. I'm going to Vietnam with a few friends. Very excited. We're going for about 11, 12 days and we are flying via Paris. And we have a short layover tomorrow morning going over. But coming back, we have a 9-hour layover in Charles de Gaulle Airport. And I say, no, am I going to sit in the terminal for 9 hours.
Very sad spot to be in. Any kind of a layover is just a sad vibe. Unless it's like from plane to plane. Any arson around just feels like such a waste of time, doesn't it?
And after such a long flight as well, I'm not hanging around a bloody terminal for 9 hours.
I also just thought in my mind that because you're flying obviously Vietnam to Paris and you get there so early in the morning, like 7 a.m. I think you said.
Yeah.
You'll probably have slept overnight and be ready for a new day when
hopefully,
you land.
Yeah, so all going well. So Vietnam is the main mission and I'm asking you to help me come up with some side missions that I can complete in my 3 to 4 hours in the city of Paris, which I'm going to visit in my 9-hour layover. So some fun challenges for me to try and complete while I'm there.
Well, Shauna was in touch on WhatsApp saying you need to get yourself to Disneyland Paris and try and get on one ride because
just one.
The queues are typically so long.
Yes.
I was just thinking that if you could get on one ride, that would be quite the success
story.
You're
going to pay £100 in to get on one ride.
Typically quite expensive too. Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, listen, I asked for side challenges. That is a challenge in itself.
There you go. Space Mountain. I would like the thought of, you know, you keep saying like side challenges.
Mm-hmm.
whenever you say like a side challenge, I think of like, or a side mission, I think of like GTA.
Yeah.
So I think walking around as if you're a GTA character could be quite funny. I don't mean like taking out guns or anything like
that. Yeah, please.
Did you ever see like when they were like walking into walls or they're like, they're kind of like jumping, the kind of vibe, walking down like
you're
an NPC, like, hey, how are you? You know, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
Do I have
that.
To steal a car?
No, you don't have to do anything illegal.
Cool.
Just act bizarre.
Cool, I'll do that.
I have an interesting one for you. Now, it is going to cost you. Ridiculous, really.
Right.
But there's a croissant baking class with a chef in Paris now, and it's perfect because it's 3 hours long. You are known for your baking. You make amazing baked goods. So this is kind of a selfish one because I would like you to learn how to make croissants in that time, and I would like you then to be able to make them for us.
Yes, very true.
Well, I could literally bring them in because I'll be back the next day and they'll be still fresh.
That sounds very good to me.
Wow, okay.
It's,
so that...
Sorry, just let you know, it's likely to sell out. It's a very popular class.
Cool.
And it's €109 per person to learn how to make a croissant.
Oh, dear God. Okay. Just Google it. Google it, Ash.
Mark is standing by. Mark, what do you think Ashley needs to add to her side challenge?
I think being in France, you really have to get the full-size baguette and go all-out Irish on it.
Okay, how do I go all-out Irish on the full
Irish
baguette?
Well, you have to add the egg, you have to add the bacon, you have to add the sausages, and sure, hey, experiment a bit. I don't know if you can find hash browns too easy over there, or even pudding,
go to a McDonald's.
Throw in some beans too.
I think
make it a full Irish breakfast in a roll. And have a squeeze of onions.
This is genius.
Now, like, the baguettes are normally about a metre long. So if you actually had a photo of a metre long size baguette filled with all the trimmings, then chop it up and split it up between you.
Why is that not already a thing?
I know!
One could call it a jumbo breakfast.
Because there's not enough Irish people in France to make it a thing.
Yeah.
Come on, when the Irish go abroad, we have to show them what we're about.
Very true. And that's the only thing that is our culture, is a giant breakfast roll.
Yeah, it's a challenge, Mark, but it's one I will write down and try to achieve.
Nice one, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Right, looking forward to seeing the pictures, lads. Have a good one.
See you later.
Bye. Mark's on it. He's looking for proof already.
Yeah. He's looking for the pictures.
Yeah. I want pictures of this, right? But, well, not in this way. So... When I was a kid, I was in Paris, and so do you know the Moulin Rouge thing in Paris?
Oh yeah, I've actually never seen that.
So it's on the street, and on the street is these big grates in the middle of the street, and they blow air up. And there is a photo of me as like a 10-year-old kid on these grates, and my hair is standing up like the thing in the, what's your one, the,
like trolls,
like, you know, your one in New York with the big statue of Liberty.
Oh, Statue of Liberty.
It's like my hair is up like that. The t-shirt is flying all over the place. The shorts are kind of flapping.
Marilyn
up,
Monroe vibes.
I was about to say your Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, very much
in
like
Paris.
That. So there's your Marilyn Monroe moment.
Okay.
Right outside the Moulin Rouge. And the other one I had, and I think this is an interesting one, if you have any interest in going to the Louvre. I know, Emma, you already said go and, you know, do a Just Stop Oil for the Mona Lisa. She may not want to do that.
Yeah. Throw beads at the Mona Lisa.
We'd like her to come back not arrested.
However, there is a cool thing about the Louvre. You know the way, obviously, it's famously very busy. There's a lot of tourists. There's always a big queue.
Mm-hmm.
There is another entrance into the Louvre that I found on TikTok. It's just a back entrance. You can still buy tickets. No one goes there.
Oh, wow.
It's like a little bit away from the thing and it's downstairs, but you can still buy tickets. And I think if you wanted to see the Louvre really, really quickly, that's your way in. And I think it's a good little side mission.
So you want me to try the TikTok entrance to the Louvre?
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Cool. No, Ashley, that would make this whole thing just a bit more spin.
Yeah, if you just bring TikTok into it in some way. You know?
Yeah. Just go for it. We'll go through the TikTok entrance.
And then make a TikTok of you going through the TikTok entrance. TikTok Louvre.
All right, listen. Best of luck with all of it.
Merci beaucoup, everybody.
And how do you say that in Vietnamese?
No, I don't know.
Charged with Emma, Dave, and Aisling in the morning.
Wake up, Emma, Dave, and Aisling.
We got the morning routine.
Hello, 2 minutes after nine on Wednesday, the 27th of March. Emma, Dave, and Aisling with you on Spin.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am here right now in this moment to call out car insurance companies.
Go for it.
I'm sick of them, right? Mm-hmm. I just got an email that said, hey, your thing is up in May. We have a new amount for you. If you want to renew with us,
yeah.
It's €520. And I'm like, that's a lot of money. I don't remember paying that last year. And they stupidly were like, look what it was last year.
Oh.
Why are they doing that, first of all?
Because it's more now.
It's way more. That's mine was 347 last year.
Oofed.
It's now 520, over 150 euro more.
I thought it was supposed to go down.
Why wouldn't
every
it
year?
Go down? Why is it going up? I haven't crashed. I haven't got any like claims. Penalty points. I've no claims. I don't know what the hell is going on. What is with insurance companies?
I know, they suck.
Time to say good luck.
Like, honestly, see you later.
Yeah,
I'll be shopping around and I'm hoping to find someone off the Cayman Islands or something like that. Can you insure my little crap box Astra, please?
Yeah.
For 20 quid.
I have never dealt with car insurance companies because I've never owned a car, but it seems like a world of stress.
It's so pointless. I don't understand. Also, whose idea was it to put last year's premium on the email?
Yeah, that's dumb.
I feel like most people, you'd see the 520 and be like, ah, that sucks, but well.
I feel like when you get that letter though, sorry, I think I just said insurance companies suck. I take that back.
No, I don't. Insurance companies suck.
But what I do think is as soon as you make that one phone call, they're like, oh God, yeah, that's weird. Let me just sort that for you. Like I say, as soon as you make the call, they're
like, and once you say, I'm going to take my business elsewhere, hang on, go.
I did that last year and they were like, your man on the phone was like, honestly, I'd recommend that.
Oh, God.
Like, obviously, unofficially, he was like, yeah, I'd probably go elsewhere, to be honest. We've gotten really expensive.
Somebody was working from home that day.
These calls were not being monitored for training purposes.
Someone says here, one second now, go do a quote on Revolut.
See, that's interesting. I will do that. Mm. But, like, do you ever go get, like, a quote online? It's like, so we've got your quote. It's 11,000. And you're like, I have a terrible card that I don't even dry that much, but like it's not like it's 40 years old.
No, your car is grand.
Do you know what I mean? It's fine. But I'm like, I just don't understand insurance. I don't get it at all. It's very annoying.
I'm sure you will get it sorted. But yeah, try that as well and do a bit of shopping around. It is 9:05. You're with Emma, Dave and Aisling on Spit. Oh dear.
AI is here to stay, it seems.
It is.
It's getting big, it's getting clever, and it's getting morbid. Because I've found a website that tells you when you're going to die.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed.
And that was an organ. That was an organ, not my voice.
I thought this was a great way of telling everyone else in my life to shut up. Because everyone's like, Dave, your lifestyle, man, you won't make it past 40. And I'm like, well, let's see what AI thinks.
Can I just say, Emma and I have never said that. We'd never be that severe.
So, AI.
We've just encouraged it to have a banana at some stage.
This AI website tells you when you're going to die. It asks you a few questions, so it goes, welcome, let's have some fun guessing your expiration date.
Oh, that's so cold.
Tell me about yourself and your lifestyle. How old are you? Do you smoke cigarettes or use other tobacco products? How often do you exercise and do you follow a healthy diet? We're not off to a great start.
Wait, is that one question?
That's one question. I went, I'm 28, I used to smoke and vape, but I gave them up 25 days ago. I walk some days about 10k steps. Not that often, I must say. My diet is pretty bad. I try to eat healthy, but it's probably not the best.
So are you typing this in?
Yes, typing this in. Having a conversation with AI, right? And it said, excellent. Now tell me about yourself and your lifestyle. How old are you? Do you smoke cigarettes? Do you use any sort of tobacco products? I said, you just asked me that.
Oh, man, AI.
And then it crashed for 10 minutes.
It's on the way out.
I think it must have been like, oh, God, this guy's going to die tomorrow.
He's already dead.
He goes, true, I apologise for the ambiguity. Since those were the questions I originally asked to make my calculations, and then it like gives me little asterisks and it goes, carefully nudges you playfully. I'm like, stop flirting with me. Why don't we try a different approach? Can you tell me any more chronic illnesses or significant health events you've experienced in your life? I said, I dislocated my leg falling off a tyre swing when I was a kid. He goes, okay. Now take a deep breath, close your eyes if it helps, and tell me, if there are one thing you could change about your lifestyle that would have a positive impact on your health. I went, it's very hard to write this with my eyes closed. I would be a gym bunny, someone who would actually stick to going to the gym so I could get ripped. He said, well, now, with all this information gathered, let's estimate your expiration date. Which, he's twice he said that now, and I don't like that.
Yeah, that's a bit cold.
That's for milk.
There's not a huge amount of detail being given in order to predict when you're going to literally die.
But I'm kind of liking the fact that there's not much detail, because he's got it very wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
He said, I have the proximate life expectancy of 80 years and 6 months. I was like, I think 6 months is probably more likely. Six more months. But no, I'm living to 80.
80?
And 6 months.
Wow. I think that's pretty good.
So I'm around for the long haul, lads.
Okay, he's not going
to get rid of any day soon, then.
Lads, I would absolutely adore for someone to tell me when I'm going to die.
Stop that.
I'd love to know. Honestly, if someone said, listen, you're gone at 57, I'd be like, great, a lot to get done. So thanks for that.
You're so weird. Emma loves spoilers.
Loves a spoiler.
She even wants a spoiler on her own life.
I actually,
her own death.
I want to, I would like, I'd love to know. It wouldn't even freak me out if it was in like 5 years. I'd be like, all right, that's sad. Better get on with things.
But it's not like a countdown to your holiday. It's a countdown to like nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't understand how you'd be okay with that.
Oh, sure. You'd have to get a bit of travel in, do a few bits.
I'm going
to
say you're in the minority there.
Okay, cool.
I did a BuzzFeed quiz on When Will You Die? This is an old one. I remember doing it in college, so I dug it up when you were doing your AI thing.
Okay.
And it's a load of crap. If you thought your one was bad, it's annoying the way it's, the questions are asked. First question is, how often do you exercise? The options are once a day, once a week. A lot. I jog in my sleep, I lift weights on the toilet. Maybe once every month or two. Exercise hurts me and makes me cry sad tears. And then the last option is chewing exercise?
Oh, shut up. This is so BuzzFeed.
Oh, it's so BuzzFeed. It's so annoying. So I couldn't answer any of them properly because none of them gave me the actual kind of pop answer that applied to me. But anyway, my...
Which would be daily exercise, right?
No, not daily, but like maybe three times a week. But that option wasn't there. So the final conclusion is that I will die 19 years from now, but in dog years. That's 19 divided by 7, which is an almost impossible number to calculate, so don't worry about it. And then they show me a picture of a dog.
BuzzFeed is so annoying.
BuzzFeed, when will I die? Don't worry about it. Here's a dog.
Here's a dog.
Thank you so much for giving us all those clicks.
I love that.
My stats are met for the month. Thanks for clicking through.
You'll get this thing that keeps me coming back.
Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning.
Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
All right, I owe you an update. Earlier in the week, obviously it's been a big week in Irish politics. Leo Varadkar has stepped down and the Taoiseach elect is Simon Harris, due to be officially, what would you say, brought in? What's the official?
Ordained.
Inaugurated? I don't know. Yeah. Taoiseached.
Taoiseached. Due to be Taoiseached after the Dáil's Easter break. And my housemate Emer said to me last week, she just laughed as we were making tea. She said, isn't it funny that the next Taoiseach of Ireland follows you on Instagram? And I just laughed and that was it. And I mentioned it to Dave and Aisling and they said, oh my God, this is golden. We simply must get a DM from the Taoiseach before he probably will unfollow me, because, you know, he'll probably have to do a big spate of all the people he follows.
Have to clean up his act.
Oh, I wonder, yeah.
He'll probably just follow like Fine Gael and...
Yeah.
You know.
He'll be one of those cool people who only follow one person.
Yeah. It has to be stressed. Fine Gael. He does have like 100,000 followers on Instagram. He only follows about 400 odd people. You're in there. He doesn't follow a lot of other like radio people. Very unusual.
My housemate did remind me though last night, we were chatting about it and she was like, I remember when he followed you, it was on the back of something that you tweeted about restrictions during COVID. It was something to do with around that time.
Were you being a big lick? Fantastic move from Simon Harris today on the restrictions.
Love being only able to move 2 kilometres from my house.
So refreshing.
Yeah, I don't think it was something that much lick RC, but anyway, it must have been around that time. So the goal all week has been set. We've been setting thirst traps on my Instagram story to try and entice Simon Harris to DM me. When we talk about thirst traps, we're not talking that dodgy. We're talking little things that might make him go, oh, I'd like to reply to that. Bingo, DM.
Yeah.
Day one was Dave's suggestion.
Yeah, I basically was like, I said, put up on your Instagram story that you're holding the biggest game of Simon Says in Dublin and would anyone like to host?
I mean, I told you yesterday, we got the view, okay?
See, he viewed the story. This is what I'm saying. I'm also like, why are you viewing the story? You're a very busy man. You're about to be Taoiseach. Why are you on Instagram?
Sitting there on Emma's story.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And then yesterday, we took it up a notch. Aisling suggested.
Yes, so Simon Harris is from Greystones. So I suggested Emma say, anyone ever been to the Happy Pear in Greystones? Would you recommend?
What's embarrassing is I did post that. And I feel sorry for all the lovely people who gave me genuine advice about the Happy Pear in Greystones.
Yeah, Emma doesn't care about the Happy Pear in Greystones. Yeah, yeah.
This is just a big farce.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, are you a vegan now? Said one of my friends.
Oh.
Replies. And through all these replies, was there a sign of Simon Harris? There was a lot of the name Simons in the group came up because a lot of people are in on the joke, obviously, and said, Simon says yes, definitely go. I think Simon would approve. But did I successfully get a DM from Simon Harris on the back of the post about the Happy Pear and Greystones? The answer is, sadly, no.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. It's only day two of the Thirst
Traps. Yeah, we've got 2 days left in the week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got bigger things up our sleeve.
We do.
What are we going to do next?
So here's my suggestion, okay? We add Simon Harris to your close friends list.
Oh, for right? God's sake.
We actually, no. in a weird
way. You guys are tight.
In a weird way, I'm thinking we could actually just take everyone else off your close friends list and just add Simon Harris. So it's just him on your close friend. Almost do a Rebecca Vardy on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Colleen Rooney.
That kind of a vibe where you only add one person to your close friends list. And I think you should be like, how do you spell Taoiseach? I'm too embarrassed to put this on my real friends, on my follower story.
Very good.
My main story. Just put it on your close friend story. And then he'd be like, oh, I'm on Emma Nolan's close friend story. This is great. I have a friend in the media, which they're always looking for. Do you know 100%. What I mean? They're always looking for a friend in the media. That could be you, Emma Nolan. You could be the next friend of the Taoiseach.
And I think he'll, when he sees the post about how do you spell Taoiseach, he'll be like, oh, she probably added me to the close friend story because she knows that I know how to spell Taoiseach.
Yeah. I think it's on so many levels weird to add the Taoiseach to your close
Taoiseach friend. Elect. Taoiseach elect. Yeah, that's
why
fine. It's not weird.
That's fine. If he was elected already, it'd be a different story.
That'd be too weird.
That'd be
I'm
too
just
much.
Looking at my close friends list, which is like the three of you guys, my friend Paul and Niall, Emer, my sister, my friend Emily,
Simon
Stephen,
Harris,
Tuna, Leah Varadkar,
Simon Harris,
Simon Coveney's in there.
No, no.
Oh God.
Okay. So, and the question being, how do you spell Taoiseach? T-E-E-S-H-O-C-K.
Yeah, just be like, guys, we're having a debate here in the office. How do you spell Taoiseach?
Okay.
And hopefully, even if it's
yeah,
a question
box. Yeah, you
need
to do a video.
Yeah, and then.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
And then just in brackets, too embarrassed to put this on my main story.
Okay.
Sadly, the greater public won't be able to see this on your story for today, but your close friends will. And most importantly, Simon Harris will too.
And if he doesn't respond to this one, then we're going for the real. This is the juggler, the close friends story. We're going for the real juggler tomorrow of the thirst trap.
The thirst trap. Let's see what happens with the close friend story today.
Oh God, it's been. By the way, we got the view yesterday. I told you that. Yeah?
Oh, that's
we
good.
Got the view.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But no response.
View's not enough anymore for us. We're past that.
If we had the follow, then the view. We want the response.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
This is quickly becoming my favorite game that we do on this radio, this little here radio show.
You always say that about the games that you come up with.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
shocking, isn't it? I also do like a couple of the other games. But I just think this is becoming my favourite.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I came up with it. Because I saw it on TikTok. This is a game that we like to call Vowel List. It's where I give you a category. You need to name as many things in that category as possible without using a certain vowel. You only have 10 seconds to do so. I gave you a qualified question to come on and play Vowel List. I said you got to answer me, you got to tell me without using the letter O, an app that is on your phone. We got a lot of people in. Snapchat, WhatsApp, X, RTE Player, which I thought was a weird one. But why not?
Fair enough.
You could have had Messages, Messenger, loads of apps. So I think we had some qualifiers on.
We did indeed.
Looking to see who can get the highest score this week.
Who's that there in line one?
Amy.
Amy, what's going on? You're on to play Vowel List.
Hi, Amy. Okay, I'm going to give you a category.
Hi.
You have 10 seconds on the clock to name as many things in that category without a certain vowel. Okay, here we go. Without using the letter O, name me things that smell bad.
Fart.
Yes.
Yes.
Sweat.
Yes.
What else?
Oh.
Feet.
Yeah. I will give you feet.
We'll give you feet. That was good.
Fart, sweat and feet. That gives you a score of 3.
Very, very good, Amy.
Start.
Good start.
Well done, Amy.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
You could have had bin. You could have had shite. Babies. Would we have accepted babies?
Smelly babies.
Dirty
babies.
Sorry, babies don't smell bad.
But you could have had another one. Nappy.
Nappy.
Yeah.
You could have had bad breath.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice one.
A lot of other ones I can't really think of right now, but
armpit.
Oh, very good.
Earwax.
Yes. It does kind of smell, to be fair.
It does. Run. Sabrina's standing by. How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
Hey, you're on to play Vowel List.
I am.
All right, without using the letter I, name me dog breeds.
Labrador.
Yes.
Rottweiler. Oh, no.
No.
German Shepherd.
Yes.
Oh, you went with a long one.
Yeah, you got a long one in there. Labrador, German Shepherd, both correct. Couldn't accept Rottweiler.
Thank you, Sabrina. Have a lovely day. A
score of two,
bye.
Sabrina. Not bad.
Bye.
We have Dachshund, Husky, Poodle, Jack Russell, Sheepdog.
I was thinking, yeah,
that's
Sheepdog.
Not really a breed, though.
Is it
I think
not?
It's a collie.
Oh.
Bulldog.
I was thinking poodle as well.
Yeah, poodle's a fun one to say as well.
So the score to be currently stands at three.
Yeah, three from Amy.
No pressure on Eric. What's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. You're on to play Vowless. I'm going to give you a category. You need to name as many things in that category. In this case, without using the letter A. And we're talking breakfast cereals. Let's go.
Kellogg's.
Sure.
Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cocoa Pops. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cheerios
is correct, but a little bit after the time. Will we give it?
I don't know if we'll give Cheerios. I think it was too late. Kellogg's, what do we think?
Kellogg's, I don't know how I'm feeling about this, Eric, because you can't have a bowl of Kellogg's.
Producer can't shake it the head. Oh. I'm afraid Kellogg's won't cut it. We did get two.
Nice one, Eric. Score two is not too bad.
We're very strict on Vowless, Eric.
That's okay.
See you later, Eric.
Good night.
Bye. So just to recap, you could have had Frosties. They're great.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You could have had, even better again, Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp.
Do you remember them?
Do that again.
Cookie Crisp.
That's what he used to say in the ad.
That's unlocked a memory.
What's the name of the ones then? Nesquik.
Yeah,
Nesquik. Oh, yeah. Don't have an A.
Weetabix.
There's an A in there. Oh, W-E-E-T.
Wheatibix.
Wheatabix. You could do the Aldi version, the Wheaties.
Wheaties, yeah.
I have them with me today.
There you go.
Qualify. All right, no Vowless tomorrow because we are on Friday. We're going to give you a Friday show on a Thursday. Woo. It's going to be good crack and Vowless. I'm sure we're back soon if Dave has his way.
Oh, it will be.
Get ready for the sound. Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning.
Spins, fully charged.
Recharged. Love this? Catch Fully Charged weekdays on Spin 103.8 with Emma, Dave and Aisling.